So we went back this year, and I think last year when we went, we had 10 people in our group, and this year we took 24 and 26 if you include Rob and Karen, who were down there working for Praying Pelicans. So it was cool. Our group was actually, it was mostly Liberty, but we also went from here with Eureka Methodist, three people from Eureka Methodist. Mike Smith is here today from Eureka. And actually someone we knew through Bible Quizzing in Minnesota came with us as well. So that was cool. So we headed down there, excited to see what God was going to do. And we showed up, and it was awesome. God was doing work. We got down there, and we got to go visit an orphanage the first day we were there. And everybody kind of fell in love with all the kids. And then the next morning, we got to go back to the village we went to last year called Libertad, which means liberty, which is awesome. And the pastor there, he was so excited. And one of the nights when he was talking, he was like, you know, we're liberty and they're liberty. And he's like, this is a God thing. And that was really cool. When we got to the village, we got there like right at 9 o'clock, which is exactly when Vacation Bible School was supposed to start. So we got there. And as soon as we got there, the kids were waiting there, and we just poured out, and Charity was like, all right, let's go, because she was our VBS director. So where is Charity here? Yeah, she did an awesome job. So she jumped off the bus and got things started, and VBS started, and a couple of us who were there last year let her handle that, and we took off looking for all the people that we knew from last year that we hadn't seen yet. So God was doing stuff the whole week. We found some of them, some different things that happened since the last year, but we did Vacation Bible School every morning there. We did a church service every night. The first night we were there, we did a youth service, which was awesome. Tim shared that night, and a lot of cool stuff happened with the young men. And really what was cool about it is we had the Vacation Bible School part with the young kids every morning, where we had, by the last day, there were over 100 kids showing up. They just kept pouring in. When you got there at 9 in the morning, there's not a whole lot of people, but, you know, by 9:30 or 10, they just kind of keep coming in droves, and you just kind of keep adding them. It's not like VBS here where you've got all the age groups organized, and Charity just kind of had to wing it with everything, because you had kids walking in every 5 minutes, like another group of five kids and stuff, and you're like, oh, where do we put them? But she did a good job. But then we also, during the afternoons, had an opportunity to just go out and do home visits or street witnessing or whatever you want to call it. We just walked through the village in groups and talked to people. And it was cool because we had connections with some people there last year, and a lot of the young men that Tim discipled last year, we got some come back, and we went, and it was cool to see everybody else on the trip really go, especially our young guys on the trip, go out and reach out to those guys, a lot of them who were gang members, and get them over to the church. And they were really reluctant to come into the church at first, but I mean, we just sit there outside the church and talk to them until finally we got them to come in, and it was really cool to see that happen. God really did a whole lot down there, and he really revealed a lot more of, at least to me, and I know several others, vision for the future of Belize, especially for a lot of the people in our church, which is what I've been praying for the past year. My reason for going back was for God to continue to unfold his vision of the future. It was kind of like a scouting trip for me, because I wanted to see what God was going to continue to do in Belize and how we could be a part of that. But really, I think everybody that went on the trip, Belize and the people of Belize, just captured their heart, and God really transformed them. It wasn't a trip where you went and there was a couple of people that were really ministering to people, and there were a bunch of people there having fun. There wasn't like anybody there on our trip just to have fun. Every single person, I was so proud of all of them, they were ministering. Everywhere I'd look, they were off talking to some person wandering around outside, or I'd look over there and somebody's praying with somebody. And it was just, everyone was focused on what God wanted them to do, and it was cool because I could tell that everybody was in the center of God's will, doing what God wanted them to do. And it was awesome. So I'll let other people share about the rest of the trip. I don't want to take up much time here. But we will be going back next year, and we're going to try to go back in the winter. We haven't decided that for sure yet. So if you didn't get to go, this year, but you wanted to, or if you're interested, especially after you hear about the rest of them, you can talk to me or Greg or Rob, the missions committee. We're going to be talking about future there. So it's going to be awesome. And I think, who's first, Mike? Mike's coming up. So you get to hear the rest of the stories in just a second.
Awesome. Some of you might not know, but Justice is my right-hand man on Saturday nights with the college and high school. So he makes it happen. And I was thinking about it, and he's had a pretty busy summer, and I think God's really challenged him. He helped Teens for Christ and was the camp director at the summer camp. About 2 weeks after that is when he led the mission trip down to Belize. And then this past weekend, he just helped run the quiz camp for Teens for Christ with a couple other leaders. So he has a servant's heart, and we really appreciate Justice. Well, it couldn't be a mission trip without Dan Benson, so we're going to have Dan come up and share for a few minutes.
Well, try to keep this short. Keep it short. I think I need to talk about maybe one or two things. I want to pick up on what Justice said, and the thing that really impressed me, sit back, and, you know, I'm a police officer, and what I do for a living is I watch people. And it was really kind of fun to sit back and watch our team through the week just really just respond to the situation. And what was great for me that really spoke to me is, as Justice meant, nobody went down there to have to have fun or vacation. They came down to minister. And what was really great was we ministered to them, but in the sense of us ministering, we got ministered to ourselves. And to see the team evolve and expand, what was really great on the bus rides home to where we were staying, coming back from Libertad, is the kids breaking up into small groups and talking about how they need to change their lives, and this needs to change in their life, and I need to do this, and this needs to be different, and God really speaking to them, through them ministering to them, God was speaking to them about their own lives. That was absolutely terrific, and that's how, you know, God works, and it was just really great to see that happen. And to be part of that, and God speaking and ministering to me, you know, and the big thing was really, really great to have an opportunity to minister to some of these young men that Tim had contact with before, recontacting and share the gospel and breaking through some of the barriers of understanding. They had a real barrier about understanding grace and salvation by faith alone, that they had to do something just to even, they had to clean their lives up just to walk into the church. And that was a huge wall that we were really trying to break down. And that was really, really a great opportunity to do that. And for me, for the 5 days being down there really focused on that, it's really, really emphasized, it really energized me. It's been a month now and since we've come back from Belize, and I've shared the gospel 6 times with different people. And that's probably more than I've shared in the last 2 years. So it's been really, really terrific for me. What really started it all was before even the trip started was in the airport. And we had decided that I was going to go through the line first and be a contact. So when all the other kids went through, I'd be a rally point for everyone else. And I gotten through and all the kids were going through. And a young man came up to me by the name of David O'Brien. He's a United States Marine, a sergeant in the United States Marine Corps, was on his way to Hawaii. And we were all wearing our Praying Pelican shirts on. And I noticed him, and some of the girls had talked to him a little earlier. And he had come up to me, and I could see that he was watching all these kids and what our team was doing. And he was, like, really impressed. He says, like, what are you guys doing here? So I told him and what we were doing and why we were there. And, you know, just everyone's attitude, even in day one, in that early 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, foggy time, we're leaving to go, there was something about our team that caught his eye. And he asked about it. And when I shared with him what we were doing and going down to Belize to share the gospel and all of that, he said, you know, I really need to do that too. And I said, well, where do you go to church? And he says, well, I really don't go to church. And I said, were you brought up? And he says, well, I was Catholic. And I asked him, I said, well, if somebody asked you what the gospel was, would you know what it was? And he said, no. So thanks to some recent teaching about the way of the master, sat down and talked to him, and he gave his life to Christ.
Amen.
Right there in the airport. And it was really kind of a tough time. We were running out of time. And by the time we talked to him and he prayed through, we were all getting ready. We were going our way and they were going his. And the other really miraculous thing, just as we were as I was leaving the house to go to the airport, I just had this real urge. I had my Bible with me, my regular Bible that I regularly carry with me. But I just got this real urge that I need. I have a small, compact, really nice leather-bound Bible that I carry in my bag at work. And I just had a real urge to go and pick that up before I went to the airport. And when we were leaving, I asked him, do you have a Bible? And he said, no. And immediately I realized that's why God had picked me up, to give him that Bible.
Amen.
And when I gave it to him, he was like shocked. It's really nice. It's an expensive leather-bound Bible. It's a study Bible. And it really is a very nice Bible, and it's compact. And he was shocked that I would give that to him. So, and I said, well, how can I get a hold of you? He said, well, I'm getting a new cell phone when I get over there, and I'm going to change my email address. He says, I have really no way to get contact. He says, once I get orientated, he says, well, here's my phone number. I gave him my phone number. I wrote my name and my phone number in the Bible, and I gave it to him. I said, look, when can you get a hold of each other? He says, well, I am coming back in November. He says, I live in St. Peter's. So his name's David O'Brien. Pray for him. He hasn't called me, but I'm just going to trust God. What he started, he's going to finish.
Yeah.
And what was really good was when we were leaving and we were going down the hallway, he was still standing in line waiting to get his ticket, and he was sitting there reading his Bible.
Mm. Wow.
So, and for me, and that was a real high for me. And the whole week, the other thing I want to say is the whole week was a real spiritual warfare for me. Something happened every day, either something was said or done or Satan attacked. I mean, from that high, every day there was a real spiritual battle for me to stay focused and to stay on. Even up until the very last night we were there, things happened that were just a real distractor trying to destroy what God was doing. And it really spoke to me that what we were doing was really, 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 you know, in the center of God's will, because Satan was trying to fight this the whole way. And I really experienced a real spiritual battle for all of that. And I just praise God that he got us all through that. And so much was done and so many great things happened that it was to his glory. And I just praise him for that.
Amen. That's good. Next, we're going to hear from one of our college students who's been coming for about 6 months to a year, Melanie Hoffman. Give it up for Melanie.
Okay, well, I had no idea what I was going to say at all. And then, like, all the way here, I was freaking out. You can ask Andrew. I was freaking out. I'm like, I'm going to get up there and just babble on. But during worship, God just hit me, and I wrote down, like, a zillion things. So I'm going to try to keep it short. What really amazed me was, like, how inspiring everybody was down there. Like, that's my biggest thing is, like, I was super inspired. All the kids down there, they just had huge smiles on their faces, and I mean, they have absolutely nothing, and they give you everything. They offer up everything. They smile at you, and when you're walking by here, like if you walk by someone's house here and you smile at them or you say hi, they're like, do I know you? And like give you a weird look. But there, it's like you don't even say anything to them. They run up to you, and they're like, hey, do you want some of this fruit? You know, I just made this morning. Do you want to try it? And, like, if somebody said that here, you'd be like, poison? it's like they have a death wish for you. But, like, there, it's like they're so nice and so kind, and they try to give you everything and be so hospitable. And, I mean, they're just so blessed. Here, it's like we take like the most important thing. Like there's commercials on for like eyelashes. Oh, get the best eyelashes, blah 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 blah. It's like there they look at that and be like, what eyelashes are that important? Like, I mean, it's ridiculous. What we see is so important, and they see as like nothing. I mean, them getting food is so important, and we see eyelashes as important. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. Yeah, we went to the orphanage, and I mean, gosh, since we've been back, I've had dreams about adopting some of these kids. Definitely not old enough, not thinking about it. It's okay. we went to the orphanage, and I mean, this little girl completely caught my heart. I ran in there. I just picked her up. I'm like, this one's mine. And I walked away. And she didn't have a name. And I mean, that broke my heart. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's this little. She doesn't even have a name. I mean, I don't know if I want to write her. Like, what do I do? So I don't know. But she was just adorable. And all the kids there just broke your heart. They were all, like, in completely worn-out clothes. Some of them didn't even fit them. You could just tell, like, they just kept transferring clothes on them. I mean, they'd be ripped at the bottom to fit them and just stuff like that. I mean, it breaks your heart. But those kids were so great. A huge thing that hit me in the week was I got to share my testimony. And it made some people cry because I was bawling my eyes out and I felt really bad. But it was very encouraging to me because that whole week I was just kind of having a bad thing with God. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm here. Use me. Okay, let's go. Let's go. And I just didn't feel like anything was really happening. And then I shared my testimony. And, like, all these people were like, wow, I was really encouraged by that. And, like, they'd start crying afterwards. And I would feel awful. But, I mean, it really hit me. And I was like, okay, well, God's going to use me here, too. And, I mean, it's just awesome to know that God's in Belize. God is everywhere. I mean, you don't realize it until you're actually there. It's like, oh yeah, God's over, like in China, he's over, blah, blah, blah. People believe him everywhere. But then you go down there and it's just like, bam, God's here too. And I mean, I took a lot of pictures. I took over 2,000 pictures. When we were in Belize, it was like 12 gigs of pictures. So took a lot of videos. I mean, their worship there was awesome. Okay, one cool story. Sorry, getting excited. Me, Faith, and Demetrius were doing street ministry, I guess you can call it. And we were walking, and this lady, we just saw, like, these two ladies. One was laying on a hammock. One was sitting in a chair. They're just outside their house. And we walked up to them, and, I mean, they were so nice. They're like, oh, let me grab you chairs. Ran inside. It's like this old lady carrying out these chairs. And she was like, no, I don't need help. I don't need help. I got it. Brought them all out, and we sat there and just talked to them, and we're ministering, and she goes to church, and her family kind of falls away and stuff, and it was really interesting. And then all of a sudden, this random guy comes up walking through the street, and he's just, let's go to church, let's go to church, and he's waving his Bible, and he's ministering to us as we're trying to minister to them, and so he brings us to church. And, I mean, it was really cool. We went in there, and everybody's clapping, and, like, it was awesome because the adults, like, you see adults in the church worshiping to little kids' songs, like Father Abraham, and they're doing the thing and just everything. And it was so fun. We're just in there, and we're like, do we sing? Do we sit? What do we do? And they're just going nuts. And, I mean, that's another thing. They don't have, like, all these instruments. They don't have that great of singers. They don't have, like, anything like that, but they'll still worship. They'll still completely pour their hearts out to God. I mean, we complain, oh man, he was out of tune again, and just like all this stuff, but I'm not trying to offend anybody. Anyway, other churches do that. That's what I was talking about. But, like, this is going the opposite direction. But, I mean, it's great because, like, these people, they're so thankful. And, I mean, it just completely hits you. Like, I came back and I didn't wear any makeup. I didn't do my hair. I just didn't care. Like, every single time that I go to the store, like, I'll be checking out and I'll be like, oh, God, don't make me do it. And, like, all of a sudden, I'll have to be ministering. I'll be like, yeah, I just got back from a mission trip from Belize. And, like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, really? You went there? Blah, blah, blah. And it's, like, every single time. There's been at least, like, 5 times that I've checked out at a store and talked to people about that. So awesome. It's been really awesome. And, I mean, it just really hits you how blessed they are that they have nothing. And they still, I mean, they're so much happier than we are. Like, a hug to a kid is like Christmas. Kids here, it's like, oh, their DS ran out of batteries. End of the world. And there, it's like, kids at the orphanage were filling a bottle with rocks and shaking it, and that was their toy. That was their game. Whoever could run out of rocks fastest or something like that. So, I mean, it's just really awesome how blessed they are.
Good job. Thanks, Melanie.
That was awesome.
Next, we are going to hear from Sarah Wilson.
Hi. Okay, so Belize was amazing, and I feel like I went there like as one person and came back like as someone totally different. It was just crazy, all the stuff that God did. The first day we went there, we like had a little extra time because we got there a little early, so we got to go to the orphanage like they were talking about. And so I was like, okay, cool. And then we got there, and they like were telling us like the rules and stuff. They're like, don't ask the kids about their past or why they're in here, you know. And then we're like, yeah, okay. So we went outside to their little play area, and then like some people started like picking up kids and like playing with them, and I just stood there and I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, what am I doing here? And I was like, God, why did you send me here? I don't deserve to be here. I don't know what to do. And we only had an hour with the kids, an hour to, like, you know, love on them and just play with them. And I was just standing there, and I didn't know what to do. Because I'm one of those people that's kind of quiet. And if I know someone really well, I can be kind of crazy with them and stuff. But... But if I don't, I'm just kind of quiet and shy. And I was like, I'm only going to see these kids for an hour. How am I going to be, like, crazy with them? And God just told me, you know, you have to let go and just be whatever I want you to be. And at our summer camp this year, we talked about being fools for Christ. And I never really knew what that meant until that week. So I ended up letting go, and I played, like, one-way hide-and-go-seek with this kid for, like, 45 minutes. And he had, like, this little utility shed that, like, an old one that his friends turned into a fort. And it had, like, three shelves on it. And he would, like, make me go, like, count. And then he would tell me when he was ready, and I'd go over there, and he would hide on a different shelf each time. So, yeah, it was really fun, and it was really sweet. And a lot of those kids there just like stole my heart, and that was the first day. So I was like, wow. Another thing that God taught me that week was just listening to him. Before, I would listen to him about big things and stuff, but when I was there, I just learned that if you listen to him, he's constantly talking to you and like speaking to you, like telling you to do things. And one of the nights, we had a church service, and they gave the gospel, and they're like, okay, whoever wants to accept Christ, go to this side of the room, and whoever just wants prayer for something, go to this side of the room. And they're like, team members, you can come up to pray with people. And so I saw some of the team members walking over to, like, pray with people, and I was, like, standing in my pew, and I was like, man, I wish I was over there. And God's just like, well, get off your butt and go over there. So I went over there. I was just like, okay. And there was a couple people who didn't have anyone to pray with them. So I grabbed this boy. He was about 14 or something. And I was like, hey, can I pray for you? And he's like, yes. And I was like, what can I pray for you about? And he's just like, the things that I've done. And it was like really sad because he felt like he needed me to pray to God to forgive him and stuff. So I prayed for him for like a long time, I guess. And I was like praying, you know, God, help him to know that you love him despite what he's done. And I don't know, like I was just praying and praying. And I looked up, I guess I prayed for a while because almost everyone was done praying with people when we got done. And he was just like, thank you. And I was like, you're welcome. And I was like, you should come to VBS tomorrow. And he was like, tomorrow? And I was like, yes. And he's like, I'll be in Belize City. And he's like, Thursday? And I was like, we'll be gone on Thursday. And he was just really sad. And I was like, you know, but you can talk to some people in the church, and they'll be happy to pray with you and just teach you more about God and stuff. And he was like, okay, you know, and he's like, I will miss you. And I was like, I'll miss you too. And so he left, but I just felt like so blessed that God gave me that opportunity, because I was probably like one of the only people like from our team that he got to talk to that week. And it was just kind of amazing that God let me do that. And I just learned it's not the things that God makes you do, it's the things that God lets you do, you know. And it was really cool. So throughout the week, just lots of stuff happened. God was telling me to do all this stuff that I didn't really want to do, but I ended up doing. Like one night, I ended up watching like 10 kids during the church service. And like at first I was really reluctant to do that, but God made it pretty clear that's where he wanted me that night. It was just amazing. The prayer walks in Belize that we went on, or the house visits and stuff, were really cool. And one day, like, we went out, we had a couple hours free, and we went out in the town we were staying at, and like lots of people were gonna shop and stuff. And my team, like, or my group went into like one store, and then the rest of the time God just kept bringing like person after person for us to pray with, and it was really, really cool. The last day we were there, we were on this island. It was kind of like our vacation day. And we actually got to witness to a couple people on the island. But that night, I was kind of sad, and I was like, I'm going home tomorrow, and, you know, I don't want all this to stop. And we were out shopping, and people would ask us, you know, like, why are you guys here? And we were like, oh, we're on a mission trip. And they'd be like, oh, you know. So we went to this one store, and this guy was like, so what are you guys doing here? And we're like, oh, we went on a mission trip here. And he's like, you guys are serving the Lord? And we're like, yeah. And he just got this huge smile on his face. And he was like, just saying like how great that was. And he's like, I serve the Lord too. And he's like, I got my bracelet. And like, we made bracelets at VBS that week with the little beads on them, the yellow one for heaven and black for sin and all that. And he had a bracelet like that, and we're like, we have that too. And it was really fun. And I don't know, I just felt really blessed by that. Like, I felt the Holy Spirit whenever we were there, and it was really encouraging. And then this girl Emily, he was like, you guys can have anything here, you know, for $10 or something. And it was like a jewelry store, so it was like really cheap. And he's like, you serve the Lord and I serve the Lord, so I'll serve you, you know. And he was just being really sweet. And this girl Emily saw this necklace that she wanted, and she's like, can I buy this? And the lady that was working there was like, yeah. And so she started getting out her money, and she didn't have enough. And the lady's like, oh, well, you can just have it for that much. That's okay. And Emily was like, no, no, you're already being too nice. I don't want to take advantage of you like that. And I didn't really think anything of that. And then there was a bracelet that I saw that I wanted. And and so, like, it was only, like, $5 American. So I reached for my $5, but I pulled out, like, a $20. And I, like, gave it to her, and then she, like, didn't know what to do, and she was, like, looking at her husband, like, and I heard her kind of whisper to him. She's like, I don't think we have change for this. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I was like, I have a $5 in here. And I reached down to, like, get my $5, and God was like, seriously, Sarah? He's like, wow. You didn't get the hint? And he was like, I have so much. And I, like, was reaching for a $5 to give them, and when I had already given them a $20. So I just was like, okay. And I was like, you can just keep it. I feel like God really wants you to have that. You really blessed me, and I just think you need it more than me. And the lady just gave me this huge hug and stuff, and she's like, God bless you, God bless you. And it was really cool. So then we went out shopping, and we came back a little bit later. We were walking back to our meeting, and we walked past that stand. And me and Emily were walking together, and the lady was like, come here, and to me and Emily, and we're like, okay. And she's like, pick out any of these on the table, it's yours. And I was like, no, I'm fine. And she's like, are you sure? And I was like, yes. And then she looked at Emily, and she picked up the necklace that Emily wanted, and she just hands it to her. She's like, take this. And Emily's like, no, no. And she like made her take it. And so we were walking away, and Emily just started laughing, and she was like so happy. And I was like, what is it? And the night before, God had really, like, put it on her heart to, like, give money to the church. And she reached in her bag to pull out a 20 or something, and she pulled out a 50, and she knew God was going to give her grief about it if she didn't put in the 50. So she, like, put the 50 in, and she was like, oh, because she still had to buy, like, souvenirs for people back home. And it turned out she had bought souvenirs for everyone, really, except for herself. And so it was like God used me to bless her, and it was really cool just to see how that all worked out. And it just really encouraged me, and it was like God's way of telling me, you know, I never stop working, and I'm always doing things even when you can't see it. So that was it.
Good job. That was good, Sarah. Thanks for sharing that. They got in on a Thursday night a few weeks ago, and so I talked to Justice when they got in, and I'm like, you know, if you guys want to share on a Saturday night, obviously we'd love to have you, and just let me know when. And he had talked with them. They're like, we want to share in 2 days. And I'm like, okay. So we probably had about 2 hours of sharing that Saturday night. So we could give you story after story after story of all the amazing things God's done. We've just kind of given you a snapshot this morning. When I was listening to the story Saturday night, I saw Sarah go up, and so I'm like, I kind of inched forward on my seat. I'm like, this is probably going to be short, but whatever it is, I want to hear it. And she's speaking and sharing, and then the power goes out, and she just kept going. So I was running around in the back trying to find flashlights. The power came back on pretty quick. In case it went out again, I was trying to get flashlights. And so I'm all over the church looking for flashlights. And finally I come back in, and Sarah's still sharing. But it was really, I was so blessed by that, just seeing that, you know, when God speaks to you about something, when he teaches you, when he gets a hold of you, regardless of if you're more reserved or super outgoing, I mean, you can't help but share that with people. So it was really cool because I've probably known Sarah since she was, you know, that high. And that night I probably heard her speak about 5 times as much as the previous 10 years combined. So I was really blessed, Sarah. I appreciate you sharing that and the awesome work God's doing in your life. Now we're going to have Rob Bram come up and share with us. Rob went before the rest of the team, and he came back after the team. So he was, I'll let him share, but he kind of wasn't with our team really too much because you were getting some training and doing some other work. So look forward to hearing.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
If it were up to me, I wouldn't be up here. I would be an article of a shipwreck, you know, of a messed up life, of a guy who really screwed it up well. But that's not God's plan for me, and that's not God's plan for you. I praise God for that. I'm a little taken back, you know. It's beautiful to hear the stories. It's see God loose people's tongues, you know. We could keep sharing. Mike from Eureka, how awesome is it that we have this relationship with this church in Eureka, you know. Awesome people, and I'll just say it, Mike was on the bus. He's a very conservative person. He's an engineer student at Rolla, and he heard an audible voice when he was on the trip. And my story started in the airport as well when I was at Lambert, and I had my T-shirt on, and this guy, I'm waiting at the gate early in the morning, and this guy comes up to me. He's a business guy, and he's like, "You're with Praying Pelican?" And I said, "Yeah," and he said he was from out of town. He was flying back. And he said, "My daughter's went on a mission trip with Praying Pelican a couple years ago, and it was such a blessing." And he's just telling all these stories. And for me, that was just really encouraging, you know, to start off the trip with this guy already saying what a blessing the ministry had been. So one of my highlights was I was at this church, I guess it was my last week, and in the city of Belize. And a couple years ago, I had worked in the city. That was the first trip was in the city, but in a totally different part of the city. And it's not that big of a place, but we were doing VBS, and I saw this girl, and I recognized her immediately because my kids, Christmas time, the year after we got back, put together a little book, you know, like these Kodak books that are hard copy, you know. And one of the pictures is just very precious to me of a girl standing at the side of a building. It's the house that I worked on the first year, and she's just staring off into space. She's a very contemplative, contemplating, hard-thinking little girl. You know, you can tell she's taking in her environment. You know, you can just sense it on her face. And that picture's always kind of, it just sticks with you, you know. And so here I'm at this totally different church, different part of the city, and I see this girl. Well, she's one of nine sisters, and so I said to her, I was so overjoyed to see her, you know, and she looked like she was doing well. She looked like she was doing better, actually. And so she comes up, and I said, Maxine, you know, I said, you used to live in another part of the city. I think I know you. And you live next to Kim. And she says, no. And I said, yes, you lived next to Miss Kim. And I'm trying to think, how can I get it through to her that I know her? I said, Miss Kim, her brother's a policeman. And she looks at me and she smiles and she says, wow. She remembered my name. So a couple of you guys were talking about how the impression the kids make on you, and Amy talking about, you know, that she said one day and prayed for him. And I can guarantee you that if she were to come back in 2 years, he would likely know her name. So I don't want to take up a ton of time. I just want to share a little bit of a story about the background with Belize and give you a little bit of a context. Justice shared that we went down to Belize the first year. It was our family. It was a goal of our family to take a mission trip, to take the whole family. And so we were able to do that. And Hannah ended up going with us. And so we went back the next year, last year. And I've shared this before, but I think it's, some of you may not have heard it, and it's key to a video I'm going to show you. We're in the city of Libertad, and of course it means liberty, and, you know, another coincidence. I could share coincidence after coincidence. And so before I head back to Belize, you know, we're praying, you know, and my specific prayer to the Lord is, Lord, what are you doing? Why have you laid Belize on my heart? You know, why is it so much on my heart? And I just want to clue me in, you know, what's going on. And so I'm apt to get pictures from the Lord, you know, sometimes. It's kind of how he speaks to me at times. And so I had this picture of the barrier reef outside of Belize, which is the second largest barrier reef in the world. And I just really felt like the Lord, you learn to hear his voice. And I felt like he's just, in a flash, he kind of told me a bunch of stuff, and it was like, I've protected this place just like that reef has protected it naturally. This place is reserved. I've deposited something there. It's important to me. And specifically, the phrase that came to me was, Belize is the key to Central America. You know, that very strongly. I'm convinced, you know, that the Lord told me Belize is the key to Central America, which sounds kind of weird, I know, but so Steve Inman and I are talking one night last year before we go to bed, and I'm sharing with Steve, and I told him, I said, you know, I told him that whole story, and I said, you know, Belize, I believe the Lord's saying Belize is the key to Central America. And so the next day we're in Libertad, and the pastor's wife that we're working with at the time pulls up on this dusty road, this little town of, I don't know, 600 people, and a Caucasian woman gets out of the car. And as she gets out, I feel like the Lord tells me this woman has just got my spirit, you know. This woman is somebody, you know. And I'm like just kind of bowled over by her presence. And she's an older woman. She's been working for a couple decades in Belize, as it turns out. She's got a Filipino pastor with her who oversaw over 150 churches in the Philippines, who felt a call from God to come to Belize because the Lord was telling him to raise up young men in Belize. So it's like she's connected with these people. And so we're talking to her, and she actually, she says at one point, she looks at me and she says, young man, I sense the Holy Spirit in you. And I said, well, I sense him in you, you know. And then she actually stopped, and she looked at Steve and I, and she said, I have something to tell you that the Holy Spirit has told me, and he's telling me to tell you right now. Belize is the key to Central America. So that was pretty much confirmation, you know, that we were in the right spot. And so then I'll tell you that she followed that up with she said, and I believe the Lord showed me that it's in the north of Belize. It's the beachhead, the ground we're standing on. And so that's enough to move you, you know. So going into the fall, Karen and I were just praying, you know, we felt like a call to come alongside the Belizean Church and felt like that's the call of our life. And so we were praying, and then in January I called this ministry, Praying Pelican, and just to share our heart with them and to coordinate this trip coming up, but also just to share our heart that I'm talking to this guy on the phone, and I just said, listen, you guys operate in Belize. I'm just telling you, we feel a call to these Belizeans. Mike, I don't know how else to put it, except like we're talking about moving there. You know, it's like, well, this is the call of our life. We want to come alongside Belizeans. And Mike's, I hear nothing on the other end of the phone, you know, and this is in January of this year. And so I'm like, Mike, are you there? You know, and he says, yeah. He says, we had a vision meeting 2 weeks ago, and the president of the mission was talking, and he said he was sharing some stuff that I had no idea about. He said, and he shared with us that they had been praying, and they feel like we need to have a married couple move to Belize to coordinate things for the ministry there. And the guy I'm talking to says, and you and Karen are the first two people I thought of, you know. So that was another confirmation, and so that's very exciting. So coming into the spring, we began conversations with them, and so I was blessed to be able to spend over 4 weeks this summer in Belize just to learn more about the ministry going on there. So what we're aiming to do is be coordinators in the country for the ministry of Praying Pelican, which primarily right now sends short-term missions. But one of the fleeces I laid before the Lord was we weren't really interested in a short-term mission organization that just does that. And there's some shortcomings to short-term missions. And so really wanted to make sure the ministry had a broad-based contextual approach to the country that they're interested in infrastructure and long-term mission and being submitted to the church in Belize, things like that, and all of which were yes. And so this is sort of the first step. And so the coordination position is one we're looking to do at first, and we're looking to begin doing that as soon as possible, but be on the ground in around June of 2004, so about 2 years, and then interim, you know, begin raising some support. And when we're on the ground in Belize, we'll have housing and transportation taken care of, so we just need to raise our support for living expenses and stuff like that. And so Paul said, you know, the thing I was praying about sharing with you guys, you know, as I'm praying, Lord, what would you have me share? And beyond just, you know, Belize and or in conjunction with it. And the thing that the Lord brought to my mind was just something I've been meditating on for the past couple of days, and I shared it with Karen the other night. In Romans, the beginning of Romans, Paul, one of the first things he says in the first verse of Romans, he describes himself as a bond servant. And I don't think we often see that accurately enough, that we're bond servants of the Lord, you know. We're his, you know. He is the king, and we have been captured. We are in his train. We are his slaves. We are to do what the commander tells us to do. Amen? We are to be doing what the king tells us to do. Amen? Amen. I need to practice it. He's really good at it. But the thing I've been thinking about is it's sort of like it comes in waves, like ocean waves, you know, and I'm sure Nancy could relate to this. It's the idea that you've been whispered to by the Lord, you know, to do something, and then you're overwhelmed by the thought. I mean, we love the Belizean people. God's given us a deep, deep love for them. And my team, the last week I was in Belize, we had sort of an affirming of our, you know, our staff and just talking to each other about what we see in each other. And I had a Belizean on the staff and then some Americans, and they all said a very humbling words that they said, you know, we love Belizeans. We've been back several times, but when you talk to Belizeans, the love, it's so strong. And they said, and they see it. We can see it in their eyes, you know. And this beautifully humble Belizean man looked at me with tears in his eyes, you know, and he just shook his head, yeah, you know. And it was so humbling, you know. So it's an awesome thing to get this call, you know. But it's also scary, you know. So the thing I want to share with you about is this idea of a bond servant. And and specifically, you know, the story, a reminder of just the story of Peter, you know. Peter was apt to get out of the boat, you know, if you remember, on several occasions. And on one of those occasions, it's when in John 21, you know, we read the story of how Jesus is on the shore, you know, and he's basically making breakfast for the guys. And he calls out to him and he's like, "Children, have you caught anything?" You know, and this is after Peter has told all the other disciples, "I'm going fishing, you know. I'm just going to go fishing." And they're all like, "Well, we're going too. You know, what else is there to do, you know? Jesus is dead." And so they're out fishing all night. They don't catch anything. Probably very frustrated. And they see this guy on shore, and he's like, "Children, have you caught anything?" And they're like, "No, we haven't caught anything." He says, "Go out into the deep and let down on the side of the boat, and you'll have a great, you'll great catch." And so they do that. You know the story. And there's this great catch. And John, who listens to the Lord, as Amy was sharing, John says, "It's the Lord." And with that, Peter jumps in the water 100 yards offshore. I mean, his instant response is to jump in the water and start swimming to Christ, you know. I mean, can you imagine what he's feeling at that moment? So he gets on shore. If you can picture this, this guy swims 100 yards to shore, and he gets up. He's got to be sopping wet, obviously. And he comes up to Jesus, and they eat breakfast, and then I'm sure he's still wet, you know. And Jesus pulls him aside, and this is one of my favorite stories in Scripture. And Jesus starts telling Peter his story. And he starts by saying, "Do you love me?" And I imagine Peter, like, he just swam 100 yards when he heard that it was Jesus. And it's like he's the most exuberant, outgoing disciple there is. And yet Jesus is, Peter's standing there wet from head to toe. And Jesus has the audacity to say, you know, "Do you love me?" You know. And he says it three times. And in the midst of that, Peter is asking, "Well, what about John? You know, what's his story?" And we know that Jesus says to him, "I'm not talking about his story. I'm talking about your story." And what was the story that Peter was being told? It was of what Christ was asking him to do. The hard story, you know. The wonderful and terrible word, "Follow me." And so as we were going to bed the other night, and Alyssa got on the plane for Haiti, and I just felt this so strongly, and I told Karen, I said, we've both been shoved to the ground on the same night many years ago, and in separate places, put at the feet of Jesus, where we were trembling this one night in separate locations. And we ended up both saying, "You are the Lord of the church. You know, you are the Lord of the church." And it was like Peter confessing, you know, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know who you are." And I said, we had that experience, but I feel like now we're on the shore. And Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, "But do you love me? I know you've shown me your love, but will you show others? You know, will you do what I'm asking you to do?" And the answer is yes, we will. Yes, we will. Yes, we will, Lord. But Lord, will I get to see my grandchildren take their first steps? Rob, do you love me? But Lord, will you keep my loved ones, whoever they are, when they're in the country, will you keep them safe? Am I going to be safe? Do you love me? Did he mean it when he said we were sheep for the slaughter? Does the Lord want to raise up martyrs that would go into the 1040 window, into Muslim countries, and lay down their life? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Who will go? I have a simple mission. I feel like we've been given a baby step. We get to go to Belize. I'm like, Lord, of all the places you could call us, what an easy step. Thank you. It's just right so close, you know, and they speak English. And in a lot of ways, it's very convenient, you know. But that's the Lord. That's his command. That's the orders I got, you know. That's what the orders say. My orders say very clearly, more clearly than you will go and report to Fort Riley, Kansas, and be in the 2nd Battalion, 16th Infantry. I have clearer orders from the Lord that literally say, you and your wife are to go to Belize. That is my order to you. And it's a wonderful and terrible order. And I just want to share a couple more things. One is just a word of encouragement. Right before we left for Belize, before I left, I was sitting on the back porch, and I told you the Lord speaks to me in pictures. I mean, I read the Word, and I, of course, submit things to the Lord. But he just, for me, you know, it's based on our personalities. I just feel like God's more of a mad artist than he is a theologian. He's just crazy, you know. A friend of mine likes to say the love of God is madness. You know, it's the Lord is just, I mean, think about it. Just look at the stars. You know, this who are we dealing with here? And, I mean, really, you know? And so I was sitting on the back porch, and I saw this dove going back and forth. And this dove keeps going back and forth, you know, and they make that noise, you know? And it's like 10 feet off the back porch. It just keeps flying back and forth, flying back and forth. And then I look, and I see that it has twigs in its mouth, you know. It's going down, picking up twigs, and flying back up to this tree, going down, picking up twigs, like just back and forth, almost as fast as my hands moving. It's just like just, I've never seen a bird do anything like this in my backyard. I'm like, what in the world, you know? And so I just felt like the Lord was trying to tell me something. I said, Lord, what are you telling me? And I just really felt like the Lord said to me, I'm making a place for you, you know, and I also felt like he said to me, at least the thought that came to me was this: it was Jesus said, "The foxes have holes to go into, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And I felt like the Lord said, "But, however, what he did not say that he could have said is." The foxes of the hole, you know, they have places to go. Birds of the air have nests to go to. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head, but every place the Son of Man lays his head, the Father lays his head. The Father is with him wherever he goes. And so you know, that's the peace that we can go with. We know the Lord's with us. And when the Lord is with us, the joy is so complete that we wouldn't have it any other way. You know, that's, you get a taste of that, and you what are the choices, really, right? So I just want to show you a couple slides, and then we're going to watch a video. And the video is of a pastor, Ruben Leyva, who is in Orange Walk, Belize. And I just asked him to kind of share his heart. And I think you'll see that much of what he says dovetails with this idea of Belize being the key to Central America. So just to show you kind of where Belize is. They're, interestingly enough, kind of in the center of Central America, positioned between the Caribbean and the rest of Central America. Okay. And then you see up kind of three-quarters of the way up along the coast, Belize City. And then hopefully you can see the word Orange Walk. That's where Pastor Ruben Leyva, that you'll see the video, that's where his church is. And then just north of there, essentially about 40 minutes, is where the team was ministering. So kind of in the north of the country. And then this is just a map of Belize City, which I just wanted to share some of the statistics. This is a population of about, there's like 313,000 people in Belize, not a lot of people. There's 72,000 people in Belize City, which is about the size of O'Fallon. At least in population. And just some of the statistics that are bothering the Belizeans over here over the last decade or so is that there's two, three homicides per week in an area the size of O'Fallon, Missouri. 91%, this is from an empirical study that I read, 91% of boys 9 to 13 years of age have been exposed to gun violence. That's probably, they think, due to the fact that the Caribbean nations have begun policing really hard on the drug traffic, and so it's begun to move through Belize with bringing violence with it. 30% of youth 16 to 18 years old have contemplated suicide. 75% lack good emotional support from a mother or a father. By 12th grade, 25% have been beaten by police. 54% admit to hurling a stone at police. 70% of Southside youth, about half of the city, do not know where their father is, and the majority of those do not know who he is. 70%. 60% of youth in Belize do not complete secondary high school. So that kind of gives you a picture of the situation in the city. And then this is something from the Joshua Project, and it just categorizes areas based on the evangelical exposure of the area. And suffice it to say, there's less than 2% active evangelical Christians sharing their faith in Belize. 75% Roman Catholic. You can click to the next slide. 20% would say they have a Protestant background. 75% would say, roughly, depending on the area, would say they have a Catholic background. I know of no full-time missionaries working among the Maya people, who represent about 33,000 people. And then you see the other, Belize is known as the melting pot of Central America. It's a very mixed group of people. There's Garifuna black people. There's Creole-based Central Americans. There's Mexican and Mayan, to name a few. There's like 12,000 Mennonites, of all things. So it's a really interesting place. And we only know of three missionaries working in Belize, I would say viable missionaries. I've heard stories of a couple other missionaries that say things like, hey, we're the ones with the money. You'll do what we say to do, you know, literally. So it's an environment where missionaries have come in, you know, sort of like laying the cards out. There's one missionary couple in the south of Belize that the Belizean church rejected them because they just were out of fellowship, their lives were a mess, and they started their own church. So it's just, you know, it's like what happens here happens there. It's hard to believe someone would do that, but... And these are just some faces from Belize. All of this, I think Melanie took. I have 1,300 of your 2,000 photographs, Melanie. Like our staff. So I'll just end by letting Pastor Ruben speak to you through the video, and then Dave, I'll just hand it over to you. Okay, thank you for listening today, and thanks for I want to thank there's a lot of people to thank, but Justice, obviously, as we've said, and Charity did a tremendous amount of work on getting VBS ready, and then all of you who supported the teams, supported people to go, and to the blessing. So the school's now over, and it's exciting. So let's listen to Pastor Ruben, what he has to say about his church and about Belize. Thanks.
It's been good, amen? Man, there's a lot of lessons here, but we don't have time, so maybe I'll share those with you. Things that I was discerning as people were sharing. I don't want to take the focus off Belize, but I just want to remind you that we have two of our people in Haiti right now. My daughter Hannah and Rob's daughter Alyssa. And so I'm just asking that you all keep them in your prayers. It's very, very dangerous. They're placed under armed guard at all times. That's how dangerous it is. And very difficult labor. So please just keep them in your prayers. Of course, we want to pray for the Belizeans. We want to pray for everything that was sown while we were there. We'll continue to grow. bear fruit. We need to pray for the support for Rob and Karen so they can fulfill all in their life. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful work that God is doing in our midst. Amen. Amen. So let's stand together, and Mike's going to lead us in prayer.
Father, we thank you for the awesome work that you have been doing in Belize, that we've been privileged to join you there in the work that you're doing. God, we pray that you would continue to send people there, God. People from America, we pray that you would grow up missionaries even in that own country. Pastors like the gentleman we just saw, God, that you would continue to have them fight the fight. Lord, give them wisdom in how to reach their people. Give Praying Pelican wisdom in how to claim that nation for yours, God. We thank you for Rob, Karen, Justice, all the people that went, Lord, their obedience to you, their desire to see your gospel go forth. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to give us a heart for the lost, continue to give us a heart for those Belizeans, that your word might go forth. We pray for Hannah Vaughn and Alyssa Graham, Lord, as they're in Haiti. God, put your special hand of protection upon them. Put a hedge about them, God. Guard them. Keep them safe. Let them complete the ministry down there that you've called them to do. Bring them back safely, Lord. And we pray, Father, that we would be mission-minded. We would be mission-minded. Wherever you plant each one of us, whatever our story is, whatever you call us to do, that when you say, "Do you love me?" we would say yes and obey and follow. Father, we pray you'd bless us as we go out now. In your name, amen.